You're listening to Thursday Mornings with Alex and Don.
GMAD.
Don is a pastor with 40 years experience.
And Alex is just as curious as you are. We look at the most important
and interesting questions about the Bible and Christian faith.
So let's talk about it.
Pastor Don.
Good morning, Alex.
How are you doing?
So far, so good.
Good. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Thursday Mornings with Alex and Don. We're glad you joined us. We got a good question here.
Do we?
We do, indeed.
Okay, that's the surprise part.
And this is more of kind of a gift to you. I know that you wanted, it seemed like you had, let me pause. Everyone, I do the PowerPoint for the church, right? So Don came in with a thumb drive.
Late.
He's got slides, right? Great, fine. But he only got to like two slides out of, out of 14.
Out of 14, okay? Yeah.
Maybe he got to three. But it was actually a question that we had. And I think it kind of fits into the topic. And if it doesn't, this will give you the opportunity to...
to speak into it.
Yeah.
Whether I want to or not.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Because I could see you felt a little bit rushed. You know, you couldn't. You saw you hit that maybe 10-minute mark and you go, dang.
Hmm.
Is that...
at both churches.
Okay.
At both churches. This was not limited to what happened at Westchester Sunday. This was at both churches. And I go, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So what's the question?
So the question was, should a Christian be worried if they aren't being persecuted?
Oh.
Is that kind of loosely tied into it?
It's loosely tied into what we talked about Sunday. That's correct. But and part of that I did consider because I think it's more... if we're afraid of being persecuted, it's not that we go out and ask for it.
Right.
But if we're afraid and it affects how we engage people, then yes, that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus basically set his disciples up. When we start talking about that passage that we were talking about in John chapter 16 in there. And then we went after that. I could pull it up. And basically he's saying, hey guys, let's get right down to brass tacks, because he's been talking about love, chapter 15, the first part, and how much he loves them and how they're now, you know, more than just his disciples. He's a friend. And then he goes into this and says, basically breaks the ice and says, hey guys, you know, I am being persecuted. You will be persecuted. You're not better than I. You're going to get the same thing I'm getting. And he's breaking the ice with them. And the fact that, and two things point out in that passage. So in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken, if we're so shy that we don't speak what we know is the truth of Jesus Christ to others openly, knowing that it could probably have some flashback, then that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
The second piece is verse 24, if I had not done among them his actions, proved that he was the Christ.
Yeah.
And our actions should at least prove that we're Christians. And if we're afraid to do those actions because of what persecution might come, then that's a negative thing. That's not good. And the Second Titus passage, chapter 4, says that you should expect persecution.
Sure.
And that's I think that's where you're coming from, is
right.
That text in Titus. Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:12, I think it is.
Okay.
And it says you should expect that kind of persecution because, hey, Jesus was. We're followers of Jesus. I guess we share in the same thing.
Right.
Mainly because it's the force of truth against this reality we create as humans. And so God's truth against this human creation of reality is going to clash. And as long as we represent God and through his son, Jesus Christ, there's going to be some clash.
Okay.
Always.
Right. It's interesting, you know, I'd say that, I mean, there's a lot of denominations within Christianity, and even now we're persecuting each other, it seems like. But is that actual persecution, or is that just us trying to label it that way? To claim persecution because, oh yeah, if you disagree with me, if you're persecuting me, that means I'm right.
Right. Well, the main persecution will come from outside the church.
Yeah.
Basically, what's going on between denominations right now is sown by Satan, I think.
Well, yeah.
And some people taking parts of the Bible more seriously, some people taking the Bible seriously, some totally discounting the Bible and what I think is what I see as truth in the Bible. And so you have them coming out all on that continuum. So I want to be representing Jesus well, and some will say, well, I want to make sure that everybody knows that they're loved, and that's part of the gospel too. And so you have this continuum. And you know, we've always had continuums mm-hmm. like that. I think about my Anabaptist background, and so we have everything from the Old Order Amish to the liberal Mennonites that everything goes, and everything in between.
Right.
And what's interesting is even the Amish are doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, some of them have decided they want rubber on their buggy tires.
Yeah. Sinners.
The New Order Amish, you know. Yes.
Right.
And so they've had their own separation.
Mm-hmm.
What's driving us? Well, I hope it's driving, what's driving us is we want to show the love of Jesus even more. If it's just for our salvation, well, I'd hope we know we're saved. So I don't need to have hooks and eyes.
Right.
To show my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. See, I got these big gold buttons.
Gold buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I feel like there's a little bit of a trap you fall into, though, because you can say like, oh, well, yeah, well, the other churches, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't actually believe, they're not Christians because they don't believe the correct thing. And I've got the correct thing right here. Is that more of like a, well, even what we talked
about, it is a trap
Josh,
we can fall into.
It's then you become like the Pharisees, the self-righteousness of the scripture that you're like, I've done it right this way.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you know if it is right or if it's not just you think it's right?
This is a proof text.
Okay.
And what I'm trying to nudge in those conversations is if you can't give me book, chapter, and verse for why you believe what you believe,
mm-hmm.
then why should I listen?
Yeah.
To that part of the argument. I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, well, and actually, I'm not included in some of those discussions because right. I take that stand because I want, usually what I believe, I can really point to
yeah.
verbatim in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I'm not shy about that
sure.
either.
And everyone, we will, there's a question next week that we're going to hit on this.
Oh, dear.
So we're going to kind of let this one go because...
Warming up, Don, on that one.
We do have a good question that will probably take the majority of
okay.
the episode next week.
So my thing is, I want to keep all that I'm doing and all I'm preaching based on this
mm-hmm.
text. I believe it is God-inspired. I believe there's Holy Spirit behind all of it.
Right.
And the other side of it is, if I don't stay on this, what am I standing on?
Yeah.
Because this is God's word. And it has Jesus' word.
Right.
Ultimately, then, if there's a disparity, then I'm going to go towards the four gospels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Paul says a little hinky and I'm not sure quite there, and I know that Jesus said it this way, that's where I'm going to
yeah.
base my theology, is solely on what Jesus said. I believe Paul did a pretty good job talking about who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't throw him away.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of people, I guess going back to the question, you know, we shouldn't be really worried if we aren't being persecuted because persecution, we should be careful
mm-hmm.
to not let it be something subjective, right? We want to look at the Bible and see what the Bible is considering that. Because if someone disagrees with you for what you believe, that's not persecution, I don't think.
Right.
Maybe it is. Well, I mean, if it hurts your feelings, let's not jump to persecution.
Right.
You know, go say the same things and, you know, over in, you know, the Gaza Strip right now or something like that. I think then you'd see real
right.
persecution.
Or Ethiopia and some of the places, yeah, in the Africa yeah. where the, yeah,
mm-hmm.
you get your head lopped off for
oh,
some
yeah.
of those things you're talking about.
Yes.
That's really happening in real life right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a little bit of difference there,
mm-hmm.
right?
There is a lot of difference there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Disagreement in the church is just a pain in the neck, but persecution could be loss of neck. Loss of neck there. Yeah.
Separation of neck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not good.
Is there something in the Bible we can look to see, to make sure that we're not becoming self-righteous about claiming the persecution that we're feeling? Did that make sense? So claiming. A good, like I know that I'm right about this thing because the other side that I'm just maybe not making up, maybe I'm just like imagining or grouping someone there, is saying that I'm wrong and they don't have good reasons. And then I feel persecuted. You know
true.
What I mean?
I don't usually try to put that banner on myself.
Okay.
Right away. I like the discussion because as I look at what Jesus was talking about, and I focus on the Sermon on the Mount and blessed ours in chapter 5. And then I go to this part where he says, don't judge or you too will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged.
Where is that at?
And with the same measure. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. And then in 3, it starts to pull it down just a little bit more where it says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust, even theological sawdust, in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time you have a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from the brother's eye. And so I take it that Jesus is saying, hey, cool it here a little bit, and take care of your own business.
Yeah.
That's why I believe if I don't know where I sit, book, chapter, and verse on any aspect of theology, I don't have a whole lot of stand that I can even have the conversation on.
Right.
And so then I want to be careful when I engage somebody in conversation on a certain piece of theology that I know where I'm at. I'd say, so where are you at? And where do you bring that from?
Okay.
Because I might be totally off base or in misinterpreting the scripture.
Right.
But that only comes out in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what bugs me the most is a lot of these church disagreements have happened because we really didn't engage in conversation before we engaged in judgment.
Yeah. Well, and I think the interesting part, and it's curious about Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 through 6, is that it's a paragraph and then it goes on and it begins another paragraph, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we skip verse 7?
Why do we skip verse 7? Yeah.
Because 7 is part of that paragraph.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will knock. Or are you talking about verse 6, which do not give dogs what is sacred?
That's the one, yeah.
Do not throw your pearls before pigs.
That's the one.
6 is more spicy.
Yeah.
Well, and it's basically saying, so if this person has no beliefs, why stick it out there?
Okay.
I mean, when we talk about precious things about our Lord Jesus, those are pearls.
Mm-hmm.
And if they aren't going to be receptive.
I feel like we see that a lot in culture right now, is that we're trying to offer pearls to, it feels weird to say pigs, but you know, it's a richness of what Jesus is saying. It's the meat of Christianity.
Right.
It's the meat of the relationship you have.
So we stand on street corners and we preach the gospel just out there.
Right. Because, you know, and I think that the easy thing is just the Jesus loves you.
Mm-hmm.
We get it. Yeah. Does that mean that he doesn't want you to repent of your sins and that you should always be accepted everywhere and keep on sinning and he'll everything is fine? I mean, the relationship can't be there if you continue to
do what you always
do. Do what you do. And then it's just a one way thing. And that's why those pigs turn, right? Because they don't know what to do with it.
No. And yeah, they'll turn and tear you to pieces.
Turn
exactly.
They don't know what to do with the pearl.
And so doing it on sharing the gospel on a street corner might get a few people interested, but I think it's really sort of casting your pearls before swine. Whereas then you go to a format like this and you're saying, okay, what are the questions that are out there? Let's address the questions that are out there because people are seeking. And so as people seek, then we can at least provide an answer that's hopefully close to the question and answering the question that they have out there. And so if they're seeking, we have something they can find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I like what you're doing.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you do.
And that's why I'm here, you know?
And I feel like we're going to be getting too much into I want to talk about next week. So I'm going to make you stop.
Make me
so stop. Everyone just remember kind of where we are here. You know, it's the, you know,
no persecution, not make me stop.
Yeah, right. Where we're going to leave this topic and join it next week is that it's from that passage. It's like, why is it so much different? How to get, like, what's the bait we're using to bring people in, kind of a thing. And then once is that where it ends, or does more happen? And why is there a debate about that? And just so everyone knows, we're going to record that episode in like 5 minutes after this one ends. It's still going to be brand new for Dawn.
Okay.
But I do have one question to close out that I got from an anonymous person.
Anonymous.
That I wish wasn't anonymous, because they think like me. And I think this is just an incredible question.
I better get braced for this.
Why did God make vermin? So when I think vermin, and he was talking about critters.
Mm-hmm. Like mice.
He or she. Right. So vermin are things that don't do anything like real good. I think of raccoons.
Hmm.
I think of possums. Okay. At least a bald eagle or something cleans up dead things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
A coyote cleans up.
Originally that coon and the mice and all those were cleaning up too. The difference is now we have horticulture and we have things that are standing like our corn. You know, it's really good stuff and we want to protect it. And that dumb coon thinks he's got it, have it too.
Yeah.
And he tears things up getting there.
Mm-hmm. And they eat pheasant eggs and they and skunks. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Right. Yeah. It used to be we hunted those coons for their pelts. And
okay.
So now they're starting to get a little bit more than they need because there's no market for their hide.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think Iowa has even like proposed a bounty on them, which I think is a good idea.
There you go.
My neighbor to the south and I think we cleaned up some 300 or 400 raccoons last year because they had gotten so bad.
Yeah, yeah. And corn country, they just love corn country.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to bed, waking up at night, listening to raccoons cry because we had added a little electric fence around the sweet corn patch. They'd sit there and I remember looking out there and seeing one just like sitting on its butt, just like,
oh, what did they do this for?
Oh, it's so funny.
Well, we have more coons in Iowa than we had in Kansas.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then the Kansas coons are much smaller and skinnier and because they just don't get fed like they do here.
Get the corn. Yeah. That Iowa corn grows big deer, big raccoons. Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about Kansas of my childhood because we didn't have corn.
Oh, yeah.
But now there's plenty of corn being raised in Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Back then it was just wheat, oats. Wheat
and maize and sorghum for the silage. And that was it.
That was it?
Yeah.
Good to know. All right, Dawn, will you pray us out?
Can do that.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here together this morning. And we pray, Lord, that in our conversation, there might have been some tidbits that has answered somebody's questions. Continue to guide your wisdom in this world as it's shared by your people. And may all the honor and glory come to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us again on another episode, Team Ad. A really good one, I think. If you got more questions, please send them in.
Please.
We love having the discussion, and I think that's a really important part of it, or else it's just us here talking. And
that's all right, too.
That's all right, too.
But if we share it with somebody who might have enjoyed it or at least got some wisdom from it, God bless you.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So we'll see you next week.
Lord willing.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye. Thanks again for joining us for this week's episode. We are both having a ton of fun making these videos and episodes. And if you're having fun too, please tell a friend about this and help us to grow this mission. Thank you and God bless.